We're recording. So we know we should learn something. And since I just got back, I'm not going to do anything. I didn't do anything different. So I'm just repeating what I said in Touch of Nine Tet 3 years ago, which also repeats what I said Touch of Nine Dalet, which was 8 years ago. But nobody remembers, and you weren't even there. So we're going to do it again. So most
okay, it's kind of like a chazaka. It's like a good thing.
Okay, we're going to do it. Right. We're going to keep doing this. Parshas Bechukotai. This is mostly based on Rabbi Eldar from the Gush in the Tarmitzion book on the Parsha. I start with that saying that at Sheva Brachot, Gershon's brother Aiden started talking about the trolley problem. You know the trolley problem? Basically, what do you do? You're looking at a trolley barreling down the track. There's a switch. And where it's going, there are four people tied onto the tracks. If you pull a lever, you can divert it, and one person's tied to the track. How you decide who to save? You pull the lever, switch it to the other track, and actively kill one person, and let four die. One of these philosophy problems, Susie mentioned that, she was in the class in law school where they talked about it. Now, how do you decide the worth of a human being? How do you figure that out? Classic ethics, morality problem. So, classic problem. People talk about it. But in this week's parsha, we know the answer. How much is a human being worth? Human life, it's worth 50 shekels. That's it. We know that. The public says explicitly, you do have to adjust for age and sex, but basically, at the end of our parsha Chafzayin, though speak to B'nai Israel and tell them. He's carefully neder, someone who makes a vow and pledges value of a life to God. And the worth of a man, from 20 to 60, and the value promised to donate to the mikdash, the value of the person, and if it's a man between 20 and 60, the answer is 50 shekels, the shekel of kodesh, 50 shekels of silver, which if you're 10 grams of shekel, as of yesterday, I looked it up, that's $353.98. That's how much a human being is worth.
Doesn't sound like very much.
Doesn't seem like very much.
Although, if you consider inflation from the back then,
right, so how much do you do okay?
Well, if everyone had to give one shekel, right? One shekel toward the mikdash. So this is
half
50.
A shekel every year. Right. That's 100. That's it's 100 years worth from that point of view. That's your kofar nefesh. That's an interesting point, which I didn't talk about. But that's another way of looking at it. You know, half a shekel a year is your kofar nefesh. Okay. But
add
it's a weird idea.
In.
What
is, add you know, that what, in, Danny. The, add that in with the footnote.
So I just want to point out that the kofar nefesh was half a shekel a year.
So it's 100 years. That's kind of nice and even.
Yeah, but still, right? That's not much. And what is it? You know, what's the idea? This is the value. That's the value of the life. It's kind of weird. We're going to step back from that. You know, how do we think about that? Because Sefer VaYikra, this is Perek Chaf Zayin, should end back in Perek Chaf Vav. Sefer VaYikra ends perfectly. Previous Perek. And he has a tochcha that's the Zachati Lehem Brit Rishonim. I remember the covenant of their ancestors. Chesitiyam Tamei Eretz Yisrael. I brought them out of Egypt. Leinei Goyim in front of all the nations. Yot Lehem Lelokim. To be their God and Yashem. Eila Hukim Mishratim Vatarot, these are the laws, the judgments, the Torah, that Ashenatan Hashem, that God gave Beinuva, Ben Israel, between God and Ben Israel, Bahar Sinai, Ben Moshe, the hands on Har Sinai, the hands of Moshe. We should end with a Chazak, Chazak, because it's perfect. That's where it should end, back in Per Chapa. Right? It's a whole Sefer dedicated Kedusha, Makom, Mishkesh. is holy. Kedushat Adam, the Kohanim are holy. Kedushat Zaman, the Yom Tovim are holy. Then Shemitah and Yovel with Parshat Bahar, back to Kedushat Makom, and the Brit ends with this Eloh Chukim Mishpatim, sums it all up. But it doesn't end there. We have this pendant. We have four more aliyot about Erech and all the boring stuff. It starts with this about the value and goes all your donations and how you, you know, how you figure them out. And they're real halachot, but why put them at the end of the sefer? Why not end with the conclusion? Eloh Chukim Mishpatim, Har Sinai, that's it. Again, I started, you know, I talked about that again. Back in Tavshin Ayin Dalet, I talked about it. Tavshin Ayin Tet, I'm talking about it now. Here's the way of looking at it. What is this appendix doing about all the Erechim? Why put it at the end after you finish the whole Sefer? We stuck all these extra. Okay, here, by the way, I forgot about your halachot about donations. The Seed points out that the idea of a voluntary mitzvah, which is what the Erechim is. I decide, oh, I want to give a donation. What does that mean? And he says, Kiafli Lindor. The word is, if a person is Yafli, literally, to say something wonderful, to make a neder, to speak about. Beth Kaf Aleph, and we explained above, and we'll quote his full way, he does explain it. Shemash Matel of Yafsha, that what that expression means, Lafli Neder. And the pshat means mitzvah. It is a pella. It's a wonder that there's a structure in within the halacha that we call it a mitzvah that's not part of Ratzon Hashem. God doesn't say you should do it. You decide you want to do it, and Hashem says fine. The idea of a nether is very strange. Came before Baraba al pizu havid Omar, that the Midrash Rabba says that. On the basis of the pasuk, Tova Shalotidar Mishidar, that it's better not to make a vow than to make a vow and to keep it, that there's nothing good about making vows. And again, when he quotes it about making it, we're following Neder and Zavah, about making a Neder, Yipshat, Kirish, Lefali Neder, Shaina Roy Lindar. It's not a mitzvah, it's not appropriate to make a vow. Lekomakom Neder, that you make a vow when you're in trouble or something happens that you feel overwhelmed, that you want to do something. Mutterlindar, you're allowed to make this vow and give this donation. Not necessarily the best thing. And see what we said over here, what he quotes himself. This is the Emek Dabar. That making a neder, like an offer this thing, is a strange thing. Right? Allah says, do this, do this, do this. And then we have this whole structure for making your own laws up. Rav Hirsch says, no, that's why this is an appendix. But it's not inherent in the law. Chapter tells us how the case we treat when someone feels a necessity presents, that should be an object, or it's worth to the sanctuary. All such endowments or gifts are not demanded by the Torah, for purely as an act of one's own feeling and wishes. These laws are strikingly separated, else is not insignificant fact. That Jewish Torah Kohanim, the whole Sefer Yikra, there's temple endowments and vows of gifts as being that especially pious, God-pleasing act. Least of all, does to try to them the slight value and atonement for leading a sinful life. So they're not really mitzvot. They're still there. This is Rabbi Eldar looks at that and says that, you know, we offer these nedarim, as the Emek Davar says, in Be'et Sarah, that we want, you know, we feel we need to give this. We were praying to God, we feel close to God, something like that. And we feel the need to sacrifice. That's a real human need. What we feel the need to do is give up the thing that's most valuable to us. That's a meaningful sacrifice, something valuable. What's most valuable to us, not our cows or sheep. That's what you say, the rak lechush, and you put it, Phyllis? Mm-hmm. It's lechush, possessions. But what's really valuable to us is ourselves. And a loved one. The implication of that is that the natural expression of sacrifice is human sacrifice. That's what sacrifice is. And that's throughout human history, that's really what sacrifice was. And that's part of the expression that the Torah says when we talk about the korbanot. A person will bring from themselves a korban. The Ramban points out, you have a feeling that it should be you. Zorka Dava's back, Nigat the Boban of Show. The blood is that sprinkled corresponds to one's own blood. The person should think, well, they're doing all this. He hit Chatala Lakav, Gufon of Show, because he sinned. We lost his Yishpok the Mob, Yishok Gufo. Should be you.
Yeah.
Your blood. It is. We don't like that, but that feeling is there. That's what a real sacrifice is. That Hashem allowed us to lock up the amount of tumura that Hashem took an exchange. He carries her body there and allows this carbon to enact this atonement. She had the motachat the mo nefesh tachat nefesh, roshei avarim a carbon kineged roshei avarav.
It's a little weird. I mean, what are they? I mean, they're talking about some feeling to what? Kill yourself or?
Right, that if you're going to make a sacrifice, it would be of you. That has always been the case. When we talk about by Aaron, who is Moshe tells him, you know, that Mikrovaya Kaddish. And more than that, it's and even to those who aren't doing, you know, not say oneself, a religious feeling, even sacrificing children as well. That's always that. That's what I think. That's what Erechin is. That Erechin is the fact that you're supposed to sublimate that. The answer is no. Hashem doesn't want that. Give money instead. Give something else. Substitute something. The human beings have their own inherent value.
Lesson of Akeda Yitzchak is don't harm the child, right? Do that.
And we talk about that. That's kind of the point. Now I'm going to quote, you know, Alice Oza, right?
What?
This was you know Alice Oza?
Who? Oh, yeah.
Sudo Oza's son. And we're going to quote him, but we're going to get there. But that, so Yirmiyahu talking about that, that urge that you see that especially the child sacrifice. I'm going to give something up. It's going to be what's most valuable to me. It's my loved one.
We also have Shmuel, where she was giving him up, but it wasn't to kill him.
Right. That's the way. That's the way you're supposed to sacrifice your children. Give them up, but not hurt them. And dedicate them. Lead them to a life that will be dedicated to Hashem. So Gershon told the story. Parents told the story as well. So I don't think, David, you were there when you talked about it. But tells the story that Gershon's parents both were completely secular. But they started to learn about Judaism. And, you know, when they got married, I guess his father said, you know, my mother took with his Ayahuasca Silvestrone. And then the sons of, I don't know if you remember that medicine from the 1960s, it was anti-nausea medicine during pregnancy, but it led to infertility in male progeny. I think he's probably, you know, Gershon's father is probably never going to be able to have children. That was his wife there. Because of my mother's medicine, and they end up, the men end up being sterile. And his mother told him, the father, after he got married, that, you know, I had just all this endometriosis, all this problems. I had multiple surgeries. The doctor says I'm never going to have children. Neither of them could have, medically, were never going to have kids. And they didn't. And she, after learning about Chana, talking to Hashem, she says this to her and says, okay, if you give me a child, then I am going to dedicate him to lead a religious life.
Hmm.
He got pregnant. Led them on the path to where they are now, at this time there. Gershon was exactly that kind of child sacrifice. Dedicate to Hashem. So, unlike Shmuel, however, Gershon did cut his hair, as you can see. But he's a fine young man. Okay, this is Yirmiyah. Listen to the words of God, kings of Judah, those who dwell in your slime. Komar Shem Sukkot, okay, Israel. Hini mevi ra'al makom hazeh shakul shimat, titzalena oznav. I'm going to bring something so terrible on this place that their ears, that anyone who hears it, their ears will ring. Yasha azavani, because they abandoned me, in akrua to makom hazeh, and they misplaced strange to me. They katrubo le'ohim acharim, and they sacrificed the other gods. And that they had never known, their ancestors had never known. And filled this place with innocent blood. And they built the altars to Baal. The shrofet ben hehem ba'ish, burned their children in the fire. Alot la'Baal as sacrifices. Something I never commanded. Something I never spoke about. Something that I, God's never thought about. But this literal child sacrifice happened. And the Gemara on this says, you know, so Tiviti Lidi Barti Lo Tal Libi, I didn't command, I didn't say anything, I never thought about it, refers to three incidents of child sacrifice in this case that are mentioned in Tanakh. So Tiviti De Beno Shel Misha Melech Moab. One incident was with the son of Moab, the son of the king of Moab, which we're going to look at. So the Barti is a Yiftach, you know, the story of Yiftach and Yiftach's daughter. He promises that. Well, Tali B is a Yitzchak ben Abraham.
Ah.
I never thought of it. That's an example of that. Right? And we have to talk about that. What is it about that? Because, you know, this is the incident of Misha Melech Moab, which is interesting because he literally sacrifices his child, and his enemies are so shocked by it that he has this intensity of feeling that they retreat. But Moab was a vassal of Yehuda. This is a time of Yoram, I'm not sure. I don't remember exactly what. It's Malach and Berk Gimel. So this would have been time of Ahab or so. Vayvo Machane Yisrael, Vakum Yisrael, Vakuat Moab, Vayasum Vnehem. So Yisrael, it's not Yehuda, Yisrael attacked Moab, and Moab retreats. And they go out and they're fighting Moab directly. And they wiped out Moab's cities. They knocked down their stones. They stopped up their and they sealed up all the wells. And they killed. Knocked down the trees, Adish Ravina, Bekir Harasha, and until the stones were left as a wall of ruins. They Subah, Kalaim, Vayakua, and they surrounded the cities and attacked it. Vayar Melch Moab, Kizakimar Melch Haman. King Moab saw that the war was going badly, that they were being overwhelmed. They Kachota, Shevamir of Ish, Shalev Kerev, Lakia, Melch Adam, and they took a force of 700 to attack Edom, who was allied to Israel at this point. They couldn't do it. King of Moab is losing this battle. So King of Moab takes his eldest son, who is the heir apparent. Sacrifices him on the wall of the city of Moab. He kept it to Israel, and it was, yeah, Tanakh is not pleasant. He kept it to Israel, and there's a panic in Israel, and the army of Israel left at that moment. It's a powerful thing, and it really is. And it's the Akedah that Hashem rejects that human sacrifice. And the story bothers us. The whole Akedah story bothers us because Avram doesn't protest. Right? We don't see that Avram argues. We feel that human sacrifice is obviously inherently immoral. How could Avram think that Hashem wanted to do such a thing?
Wait, we have a little quick visitor. You could give him a message. Oh.
Hey, hello. How are you?
Good, how are you?
And Phyllis gives me a classical reference that I should recognize that I don't. I feel ignorant. Iphigenia?
Iphigenia?
Iphigenia et Alice. No, I don't know.
That's who the Greek army on their way to Troy is stuck on this island of Aulis, and they can't go forward because there are no winds. So Agamemnon sends for his daughter and sacrifices her.
Okay.
And that's the beginning, the whole trilogy of Agamemnon. When he comes home, his wife is so furious at him, Clytemnestra, she kills him, and then Electra, and it goes on and on. Yep. He sacrifices her.
My classical education is lacking. Thank you. I have to go look that up now. So another example of the same thing, right? But this is the way Alex put it about the Achaea. The Achaea then poses a serious problem. If anything a man knows, it is that it is rather unseemly to murder one's son in cold blood. God's commanding Abraham to do that, just that. And talking about David Hartman. But he demands that he violate the most rudimentary dictates of his conscience, so effectively torpedoes Abraham's moral independence. And my argument is, in fact, Alex is wrong. That this, if there's anything a man knows, is unseemly to murder his son in cold blood is not automatic, right? Most of human history, that was a normal thing. That's what you did, and we thank you. We have another example of that in Troy. That if you're gonna sacrifice, it's gotta be meaningful. You can give up your own life, or you can give up your children. That's what sacrifice is. House thing doesn't mean anything. You don't like it.
No, I don't think you're right, but. I don't think there's a human, I don't think it's a basic human urge to kill your child as a sacrifice to the gods.
The concept of sacrifice, there's no culture in which it isn't there.
But it's an anomaly, it's an abhorrence, it's an anomaly, it's not what generally is accepted or everyone understands the urge, but doesn't do it. It's like a out of the ordinary, crazy thing. I don't know. Doesn't.
But isn't that what makes it a sacrifice?
What?
Say one more time.
Isn't that what makes it a sacrifice? Meaning, because of all things, this is so antithetical to who we are and what it means to be human. So that is the best sacrifice. Because it's so abhorrent.
That's the point, that it is in fact abhorrent, but that makes it the ultimate sacrifice. If you're gonna sacrifice, it's gotta be something that means something.
You know, this is sounding a little like Christianity. There's a Christianity piece here. God sacrifices his only son.
Yes, there you go. That's exactly it as well. So the Akeda is saying, no, that's wrong. That's what we're saying, is that the feeling is real. If you don't acknowledge that, okay, if I'm gonna sacrifice, it's gonna be, and Christianity kicks it all the way. That's it. Not only is, you know, sacrificing your children valuable, at God so loved the world, he sacrificed his only son. That's the big deal. Torah says no. Right?
No.
That if you're going to do that, Hashem says don't do it. Make the substitute. You're right. It's not as powerful. It's not as meaningful. You're not giving up something there, but it's not worth it. Human life is more valuable than your need to sacrifice, okay? And that's the first tumura. That's the first value of erchet. Shem says, "Al tashlech yedcha na'ar, go, here's a ram instead." Right? Inei ayel achar nechaz b'sach b'karnav. Right? Ba'yel ha'ram yikach da'ayel ha'ilel ha'tach b'no. That's the right answer. That's what the Akedah tells us, is that's wrong. So there's so the end of our parsha, so going back to our parsha, we have that contrast. You know, our parak is you want to offer a human being, right? Whatever the reason is. But the answer is you're going to give erkach nefesh, and it's just going to be that small value, fine. But, think about maser bakar, last parak is. Maser bakar, batona sheyevar tachas shevet, and when you're giving maser of your animals, whatever, you count out the tenth one, atziri, when you're counting them one by one, with the staff, the tenth one is Kodesh, don't substitute, don't care if it's good or bad, whatever it is, can't make a substitute. There's no offering one instead of the other one. You try substituting the original is still Kodesh. That needs to be offered, and the substitute needs to be offered as well. Animals are offered. If they're Kodesh, they can't be exchanged. Human beings have to be exchanged. You cannot be makdish a human being, then you have to exchange it, because each individual has their own little infinite inherent value. There's no such thing as the erach of a human being. The purpose of being makdish it, God is saying, no. Don't try to offer a human being, self, children, anything. Go ahead and give whatever, $353.98. That's fine. That's all I'm asking for. So if we have this,
throw in the idea that it's the same amount for every person, age and gender, whatever, but we don't, differentiate a rich person.
And that was a whole essay I actually found in the OU Torah, making that point.
Oh.
Figure that as well. So that is another point there, but it's 1 a.m. I can't say everything. But just the idea that the Temura is not only it's forbidden for animals, it is mandatory for human beings. I got to substitute, so I cannot sacrifice human beings. So I'm looking right now in Tanakh of this idea of the appendix to a sefer. A chapter at the end that are not connected, they're out of context, that we have here. End of sefer. Shoftim has that with the stories of like Sediva and Pesamicha. Shmuel has this at the end where you have the various Tehillim and a couple of stories that don't fit into the chronological sequence. And I haven't seen any sources why these various books of Tanakh have appendix at the end of it. So I'm going to hypothesize that it's a Sefer Nevuah that has a Musar Hatzah, that has a moral. That's the theme of the Sefer. But it's not explicitly stated. You got to look at it and read it and get the own sense of what that is. The danger is you're going to get it wrong. I think that the danger in Vayikra is, once we learn about all this and sacrifice, given the human history about human sacrifice, going to look at it. Moshe says that in the words about Navan Avihu, right? But Tetzei Eish Matei Hashem V'Tochol Atam Navan Avihu die by Mutzu Tei Hashem. They die before God. Is that good? Remember Moshe Aharon. Moshe says to Aram, "Who Hashem Diber Hashem Emor?" That's what Hashem said. B'Krovaya Kadesh. Through those who are close to me, I will be sacrificed. I will be sanctified. Me'at Kol Am Nechabena will be honored before all people. They don't honor and honor with silence. When you read that, it sounds like it was a positive thing what happened in that idea. Gave up their lives. Talks about that way Rashi reads that Aaron expected that to happen to him. The fire would come out, burn him out as well. Is that a good thing? That's not clear. Erickson says, no, that's not what God wants. Right? Hashem does not want us to give our lives for him. Hashem wants us to dedicate our lives for him. That's what to die for God, so to live for God. To live through that. That's what we're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
So this Erech, says, okay, space 50 shekels, that's the financial value offering. It's clearly not the value of a human being. There's no way to put a price on a human being. So it's like, don't bother with that. It's an answer about how to look at Kedusha. And so that may answer Rashi's question. So Rashi says, because the way it's termed in this whole parak here is not erech, value, but erech echa. It has an extra chaf on there. And that's a single noun. Rashi says it means erech, it means value. So kefal kafim, the fact that it has a double chaf of erech echa, and I don't understand where that comes from.
Huh.
Says here. I don't know. Right. One of these classic examples where Rashi says, basically he's throwing out a challenge to his student. Comments to say that he doesn't know the answer. Yeah. So I'm gonna say yes, the erkacha is kind of hinting at that means your value. This belongs to you. This is appraisal for you. You want to offer a sacrifice, you're gonna take this. For me, Hashem says, it's not erech achar for me. It's not erech for me, because human beings have infinite worth. And that's the lesson of this appendix here in Erechim. That once we get through all of Vayikra and the safe and this whole safe about Kedusha, realize that human beings, in fact, as human beings, have infinite worth.
So you were saying that erech achar is not your worth, but it's a worth for you?
Right. That for the purpose of this parak, that's what the erech is. Don't treat 50 shekels as the worth, actual worth of a human being. And that, if you look at it.
So it should be.
Erech hazachar, right? And it doesn't mean your erech. I mean, it uses that word, but just the same noun with two chafs in it. We don't have a reason for it. Maybe there's a hint there that's what applies. In this parak, that's the erech. That's not really the worth of human being.
Erech, yeah. Fits in a little bit with the idea of ayin tachat ayin is money. No?
Yeah.
A little bit, no?
I guess my sort of problem with that is that's more of a sense of, you know, that's not what, that God would say, okay, yes, you should be punished according to what you did, but human beings can't be that precise. I can't give you an ayin, literally do what your eyes are worth. And the other side is that if that's the case, then the numbers are too low. 50 shekel is far too little if you're going to say this is the value of a human being. I think the low number here makes the point. Is that clearly that's not what, you know, I don't know what a U.S. law determines, like, for damages, how much a life is worth. $100,000, something like that.
If it were higher... then we would have we might think that it actually means the erech of a human being, but because it's so low, yes. It's like, obviously this can't be it. Obviously there's something else going on here.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's my point. That it is far too low to be anything that would resemble some sense of erech. No, this is a temurah. This is a substitute. There's a token there that I'm allowing that yes, what you want to do, you're going to dedicate. You want to, you know, in honor of your child's bar mitzvah, you're going to sacrifice them to Hashem. That's a wonderful idea. You're going to give your $50 to the Beis HaMikdash. That's a fine way to say it. Don't go the further limit of the king of Moab or Yiftach. That's not what Hashem wants.
So what would this neder be? What would someone say?
I am giving the value of the erech of this person.
No. It's not saying if you say I'm going to sacrifice this person to you, don't do it. No, what?
So it's saying don't sacrifice. Okay, I say I am going to give this cow to the Beit HaMikdash. That's a neder to bring the cow, and I have to bring it as a korban.
Okay.
I'm going to bring this person to the Beit HaMikdash. That is a promise that you're going to give the set fixed value.
Okay. Okay. By definition, that's what it is. Yeah.
Right. And does not want sacrifice. And by doing that, you are making that point. You know that. And there are, you know, various sort of philosophically that you know, it's a zechut for the person that you're doing that. Okay, I'm doing it in your honor, you know, by doing, you know, this amount, I'm giving your value, right? Okay, and that, I think there's this Shilta that talks about that, you know, it's the way we would give a donation in honor of someone. That's how you could do it, right?
Make a kiddush, in honor of our great-grandson, right.
That sounds like a wonderful idea.
How would you translate Yefli? Or ye palate, what is that word?
So, ish yafli neder. Literally, you know, that's a good question how you want to translate that. That's why the Emek Dabar translates as a peled, the weird thing, as a wondrous thing. Our scroll translates, and the other way is as to specify.
It has a positive ring, right? A pele is a good thing? Or?
Well, it could go either way. It's a pele. It depends on the context. Let's see how Art Scroll translates specifically.
It's like a surprising thing, like an unusual.
It's a surprising thing, right? But really, generally taken literally, it means to take us to specify. And Art Scroll translated as to articulate.
To articulate?
But that's articulate. Yeah, so the targum is yafrish. Right, there's Rashi quoting the targum, yafrish v'siv, to say it. That's to say it out loud. To make clear. Again, it's only using that sense of, in the sense of a net, it's a netter that is used to turn the verb. Yeah, please.
And we're taking it to include the idea that it's your idea, it's not God's command.
Right.
In that word, yafli. That's part of the word of yafli. Okay.
The nature that yafli neder is the expression to make it in the Torah to make a vow. That's consistently used. And it's in the Siddur that says that it uses that particular verb because it's not
great.
It's not a real mitzvah. You're making up your own rules here.
Kind of like out of the blue.
Well, have a great Shabbos. When that comes.
Very nice.
And remember that it's for you.
We're a week behind, right.
You're
Michael,
right,
so Michael pointed out to us that this year he's not going to hear Parshat Bahar read. Bahar.
Oh, right. They already missed it.
He's just not going to hear it. Yeah.
Yeah. Good. All right. Kriyat Torah is the mitzvah of the seaboard. Not the individual. You don't have to make it up.
Yeah.
Okay. That's right. So
all right. Thank you. And mazal tov to all of you.
Thank you. Is Michael back with Shabbos?
No, he's coming. He's staying through Shavuot here.
Oh, wow. Okay. So somebody needs to make sure someone is mincha. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you.
Mazal tov again.
Thank you.
Hi. Have a good Shabbos. Shabbat shalom.
All right. Okay, I can show you, Davida, you want to see some pictures?
What? Oh.
Can I look at the pictures?
Aww.
Oh, that's a great picture. The Photoshop way for that.
Can you share these with me?
I can send them, yeah. Well, they're all on the Hobgoblins. You get...
They're on the
Hobgoblin WhatsApp group.
So then I guess I have them.
You have all these pictures.
I guess I missed that. Okay, I'll look again.
You gotta scroll backwards through all those. Oh, I guess this is and Charlotte.
Oh, it was so nice that he came. Is this all of the cousins? Yeah.
These are all of my first cousins.
Wow.
This is all the first cousins.
That's awesome. That is such a great picture.
And that's a great picture. I like that picture.
Oh, that's a really good picture. I feel like you should get that one big. That's like a really nice one.
A really nice picture, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, have a good time getting everybody to school? And you're already giving everyone to school?
Yeah, they're in school. We're just on our way to Yokneam. We're almost there. There's just a lot of traffic.
Okay. Yeah. That's far. We drove it.
You drove to Yokneam?
I forget where we were driving, but we ended up, it was just on the bus. But yeah, we had to go to your bus to your shrine.
That's the bus that Aaron usually takes. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a flip.
Yeah, well,
okay.
It's
bye, Aaron.
Faster than the car, so. Okay.
My father says hi.
Bye.
Okay, bye.